And that is the sounds of Anne Berlin, a little rock pop for you. Well, we're back.
Rolling down the freeway with a rag top down, I got a shuffle on the radio with rat bass sound. I got two blind squirrels in the morning, two blind squirrels at night. Oh yeah, two blind squirrels in the morning, radio on demand, it's all right.
All right, today we've got our beliefs versus Lutheranism, or Lutheran, or Lutheran, or what Martin Luther,
Two blind squirrels in the morning, people radio on demand, it's all right.
Yeah!
What Martin Luther believed is somewhat different.
Than what the Lutherans believe?
Than the Lutheran Church believes now.
Yeah. Yeah.
He was Lutheran was a radical...
True, but he was
man for his time.
But in a lot of ways, he still wasn't. He still wanted to really reform, he wanted to really reform the Catholic Church, not start his own church.
Right. He did not want to
initially, and so there's. It depends on, and his beliefs sort of evolved through his life, and yet they still, at the end, were not completely removed from a lot of the Catholicism. So, let's move on.
Yeah, this isn't about Luther.
It's about Cole.
Cole.
What'd you say?
I said coal.
Okay. I thought it was about coal.
It is about coal. Oh. My ear itches.
I think we say it different. Anyway, he's from Iowa.
Iowa?
Iowa, the boring state. I mean, the corn state.
Where in Iowa? My sister lives in Iowa.
He didn't say.
Oh.
He's 13. And he is in the process of being confirmed in the Lutheran Church.
Oh.
He says,
my parents were confirmed in the Lutheran Church.
He says he usually listens to the show while he's laying in his bed. There you have it. He's chilled out.
Chilled out.
Listening to us. Whatever that means. Found the show because he searched for Christian comedy in a podcast site. Because I asked him specifically how he found us.
Mm-hmm.
And he says that he heard on the show that we are free radical evangelicists. Well, that's not exactly true. We are evangelical free radicals. So he's got that a little dyslexical mixed up there.
Well, that's okay. Close enough.
But he was wondering what our beliefs are. He says, I like learning about other denominations. Well, evangelical free radicals are not really a denomination.
It's not a denomination. It's just something Brad made up.
It's something I made up. Because I don't really want to be considered a Baptist. Because that's what church I go to, is Baptist. But there are certain things the Baptists do that I don't particularly agree with. Although I do agree with the Baptist denomination more than any other.
The standard
ever,
of faith,
that
yes.
I've ever found. Evangelical free, which is what faith was raised, is almost identical.
Oh, yeah. They're a little bit more current as far as the...
A little bit more Arminianism. Arminianists as well.
Yeah.
Than perhaps Baptists are or I am. The Baptists are probably unique because they do take, they are the only denomination I've ever, and there may be more. I haven't studied all of them by any means, but they are the only one that I know of or that is popular that basically take, that don't follow Arminianism or Calvinism. Now, there are Reformed Baptists who do, but the General Baptist or Southern Baptist don't. They split the middle. They say, hey, you know what? In the Bible, it says you can't lose your salvation, so that's what we believe.
Yeah.
So in that way, they're Calvinists. But they said you do have a free will to choose to accept Christ. So in that way, they're Arminianists.
Right.
So they split the difference. And the reason why is because they say the Bible says both. The Bible says that there is rejection.
Choice, yes.
There is the choice. There is the doctrine of rejection. And there is also a doctrine of secure salvation or a security, eternal security.
You are sealed.
You are sealed. You are adopted. You cannot be unmade into a new creature.
Right.
Once you are born, you can't be unborn. You can die, but you can't be unborn.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're reborn, you're born into eternal life. So you can't be unmade into that.
Right.
Now, that's the standard belief. Now, how does that differ from, and what Cole would like to know specifically is how that differs, how what we believe differs from Lutheranism. Now, Lutheranism or the Lutheran Church or Lutheranism is you have a lot of experience with because your parents were Lutheran prior to
I grew up in the Midwest where everybody's either Lutheran or Catholic.
So you can go ahead and what are some of the main differences?
Well, first of all.
First?
Depends on what synod you're in.
Yes, they're divided up into synods.
Synods, and they have
synod,
theirs.
Not synods, not like...
S-Y-N-O-D, synod.
Yeah, synod.
There's Wisconsin, Missouri, there's an Evangelical Lutheran. Without researching, I can't, but there are some synods that are more liberal than others.
Like allowing homosexuals to be ministers?
There that is a new thing happening, but it's not very, not broad yet. I mean, it's very...
I don't know if the Lutherans actually have gone that far, but they have said that, you know, that homosexuals are free to come to church and we're not going to teach against it.
We tell them they're free to come to church.
They're free to come to church. Be church members and be accepted as homosexuals
in your lifestyle. Yes,
correct.
Yes, gotcha.
We allow homosexuals to come to church, and we love them just like we allow drunks and
everybody else.
And we allow Brad of to all come. Time. Just like me, people with hot tempers.
Yes,
yes,
all the same.
But
in God's eyes.
But yeah, we don't say it's not a sin.
Right. We're not going to whitewash it for you.
Right.
But so there are different synods than there are. And I'm sure that there's people listening that know a lot more about this than me. This is just what I picked up over time. And my ex-husband was raised Lutheran. We went to really wanted to stay in the Lutheran church. His church became a charismatic Lutheran church. He grew up Evangelical Lutheran, and it turned into a charismatic Lutheran church, which...
That's sort of a mixed drink, isn't it?
Yeah. So it's actually really cool because it keeps to the traditions of the Lutheran church, which is the orthodoxy, which is all of the, the liturgy. You've got the Lord's Prayer, the Apostles' Creed. You've got
They could read.
You've got all these creeds that you still learn and that you do. You still kneel. You still take communion every Sunday. You still do all of tradition in the Lutheran church, okay?
Uh-huh.
But then they also have contemporary music and a band, and they believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit. Not just some are teachers, some are apostles, but they also believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit as far as they believe in the gift of tongues, and they believe in prophecy and all of mm-hmm. those things as mm-hmm. well. Mm-hmm. And then they also are very charismatic contemporary in their music as well. And they believe in the gospel. They believe that you should tell others about Christ, that, you know, you need to admit you're a sinner and believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and, you know, confess, you know, your sins and then, you know, become born again, as you were just saying. So, but in the Lutheran church that my mom and dad grew up in, this is not what was taught. You had to be baptized as a baby to, you know, ensure that you're going to go to heaven, okay, that you're mm-hmm. dedicated to go to heaven. And then when you were 13, you went to confirmation, like Cole is talking about. But my dad said, yeah, if you looked really hard and tried to see the gospel, it was there. I mean, they weren't saying, no, you don't have to accept Jesus as your personal savior.
Right.
And you ask any Lutheran pastor, and they probably will say, yeah, we believe that.
Yeah.
But do they require it of you to be confirmed? No. It was all about
works. So
they're
more about method.
Yes.
Well, it's not, I don't think, I wouldn't.
Well, my dad got works out of the thing, too.
I know. You can get works out of it, but you can say that of a lot of things.
Well, that's true.
I think that they more view the method.
Yeah. Yes.
Of
yes,
being
that's
saved.
A good way to put it.
Now, and listen.
Nothing
you know,
wrong with the method.
We have a lot of listeners and a lot of members of the leadership at My Life Ministries who are Lutheran.
Right.
I got no problems with them.
No.
But I mean, I think that they would tell you that, and I agree that a confirmation is not a bad thing.
No, not at all.
To know what you believe, there's a lot of saved Baptists walking around.
Yeah,
don't
no
have a clue
idea.
What Baptists believe.
The confirmation is a really good idea.
Or why they're even saved.
It's a really good idea.
It's not a bad idea. But in some churches, they stress the method or they stress the class. If you go through confirmation, you're saved. Fine. And that may not
it's
necessarily...
It's not a personal
it's the relationship,
daily walk with Christ.
It's a daily walk with Christ. It's a relationship with Christ. It's the acceptance of his free gift that mm-hmm. makes you saved. And that confession, and that's straight out of the Bible. Right. So
it's a personal read your Bible every day. I mean, you know,
now,
my dad...
If they say that in confirmation, great.
Yeah.
But that still doesn't make you saved. You still have to do it. You still have to accept it. You still have to, you know.
Right.
So...
And that's where my dad, you know, started teaching the teenagers. And, you know, when mm-hmm. he told his testimony, saying that they told him, what are you doing? You're giving my daughter a Bible? What? You know, that... I mean,
That's weird.
Yeah, that's just strange.
But I don't think that's common.
No, I'm not saying that is. And this is just one specific Lutheran church. There's a bazillion of them.
And I think that's changed over the last few years too. 10 years.
Yeah. But now, about 15 years ago, Meg's husband and I went to a membership class at a Lutheran church in Dallas to become members of this Lutheran church there. Yeah. And we made it all the way through. It was like a 6-week deal.
Yeah.
And when we got to the end, he was ready to join, and I said, I can't do it. I can't become a member.
Why?
Because I disagree. You don't teach salvation. And I'm telling you, I can't become a member of a church that's going to sit here and not tell people how to know Christ. And the pastor said, but we do. And I said, no, you don't. You've told me over and over and over again.
Now, is that because you're being stubborn?
No, I wasn't being stubborn. Okay. I really wasn't. I really, really wanted to, you know, to do this and, you know, be in agreement and all this. I mean, I stuck it out for 6 weeks. I wasn't trying to be argumentative here. Uh-huh. I mean, and I really liked the church. The people were very nice, and it was a very different Lutheran church experience than I'd ever seen before. But it wasn't, they didn't know Christ. They did not have a relationship with him. And I got to know a lot of these people. And, you know, I'd ask him, well, do you know Jesus, your personal Savior? What? They didn't know what I was talking about. You know, I mean, I went to Sunday school. And they didn't, there was no walk. Huh. But that was, you know.
That church.
Different churches are different places. But what I have seen to be the difference.
So let's talk about another difference. And this is more, that was more of a church thing. This is more of a doctrinal yes. thing. They believe in baby baptism or infant baptism.
Yes.
Whereas the Baptists or the evangelical free radicals, such as myself, believe in more of a baby dedication. Now, that doesn't mean that the infant baptism, the way I understand it, means you are covering that child with your righteousness until that child is old enough to make a decision for himself.
Mm-hmm.
We believe that happens anyway. As mm-hmm. Christian parents, we believe that is done without any type of infant baptism. Mm-hmm. There's no infant baptism in the books of the Bible.
No.
So we don't do it.
Neither is their dedication.
Neither is their dedication. But however, we do, and this is not required.
This is just an accountability thing.
Something we do. We get up in front of the church and we say we dedicate ourselves as Christians to raising our children to be, you know, to know Christ and to at least present them with the gospel.
Right. And that it's more for the parents. It's not for the child.
Yeah, it doesn't save the kid.
No.
It's just for the entire congregation.
Accountability.
To hold us accountable.
It's like baptism. It's like adult baptism. You know, you get saved, you get baptized. I'm going to stand forth in front of everybody and say, look, I'm a Christian. Mm-hmm. My life's going to change. Hold me accountable.
Is it abused? Oh, yeah.
Well, sure it is.
Sometimes, I'd say about half the time, it's just to get up in front of the church and say, look, I got a new baby. Isn't he cute?
Yeah, because they show all the cute little pictures on the screen. Everybody goes, oh, look at the pity bow.
And the baby, and the pastor gets to hold the baby and put it on its knee and get reelected for another year. Well, he doesn't do that, does he?
No.
Anyway, but he does. And, you know, it's a sweet moment. And the whole family gets to come to church and sit in a special section. And that part is actually good.
Yeah, it's neat.
People who don't normally get to come to church have to come and sit through one of my Pastor Bob's lessons.
Yes, which we like situation.
They're going to get the gospel.
Yes.
By golly.
Yes.
So
I really think that baby dedication is a neat thing
it
most churches do nowadays.
As long as the parents understand it,
it meant a lot to me. It was a very big deal to me when we did it.
And mm-hmm. we still take it serious. We are still dedicated to raising Helen as a to raise Helen to be a Christian, to love the Lord, her God,
with all her heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love
her
neighbor as yourself.
For her. That doesn't mean we save her. Doesn't mean So
she's already.
But now
she's already done that.
How
herself.
Individual Lutherans view the baby baptism may be perfectly fine, but you know the way I understand it, and the way it's been explained to me, I don't particularly agree.
And most people that I know, they're just doing it because that's what you're supposed to do. They don't know anything about it.
But I don't think it's heresy. I mean, I think that the Bible does say your righteousness covers your children until they reach a certain age of accountability.
Nothing wrong with getting your child bath sprinkled.
Sure.
I'm not going to hurt them.
I just don't think it does anything.
No.
There you go.
Just get some wet.
But if you view it more as a dedication service,
that's fine.
The gifts of the Spirit, we talked about that a little bit. The Lutherans really don't. Most of the Lutheran
these
sentence,
are my experiences.
Most of the Lutheran synods do not spend a lot of time on gifts of the Spirit. And you know what? Most Baptists don't spend a lot of time on gifts of the Spirit as well. However, they do accept them. I mean, they do in general accept them as long as you don't parade them in front of them, they'll be okay with it.
As long as you're not speaking in tongues in front of the church, they're going to have a
fit. That's fine. Just don't do it in my congregation. Okay, while I'm trying to preach. Yeah, it's sort of a, we know it's in the Bible, but if you could leave
it
that.
It makes me uncomfortable.
It makes me uncomfortable. So if you could leave that in your personal life, that's okay with us. You know. So same thing, you know. They got some things like that. And that's why I don't want to associate myself with Baptist. You know, that's why I don't want to say that I'm a Baptist. I believe in the Bible. Whatever the Bible says, even if I don't do it, even if I don't believe it or accept it right now, if the Bible says it, that's the truth.
Yep.
And that's my
doctrine.
That's
all there is to it.
Even if I haven't come to grips with it yet.
So it doesn't matter what church you believe. As long as you believe what the Bible says is true, it is the infallible word of God. There is not a single, what is it? Tittle.
Tittle. Dot or tittle.
Dot or tittle that is incorrect. That is not that is not from the Word of God.
Yeah. I believe that God preserves His Word.
Right.
I believe that is most best preserved in the Catholic. In the Catholic.
In the King James Version.
King James Version of the Bible. The major.
You want the best. Text, go back to the Hebrew and the Greek. Receptus. And then you'll have the best.
But even at that,
King James has had slight.
But even at that, you've got to go back to the Textus Receptus.
Yes.
You can't just go back to any Greek.
No. I'm talking about the original. Go back
to the Textus Receptus, which is what the King James Version was based on.
Right.
There you have it.
That's our opinion.
Is that muddled enough for you? Well, that whole last part that I threw in there, just in a quick. No. I don't want to get off on that, but. So.
I hope that helps.
So Cole, everything else, I mean,
I love that name, by the way.
Cole.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, weren't we going to? We're going to take that for a while.
We're going to name our child Cole. That's right.
For a little while.
And you know why I fell in love with it? Because remember?
Because he's from Iowa.
No, the name.
You're in love with Cole.
Ding dong.
He's 13, dude.
You know the movie that Mr. Holland's Opus? His son was Cole.
Yeah, that movie was a little pretentious.
No, I loved that movie. Yeah. But whatever. But the point is that he, remember when he was doing John Lennon, he was doing Beautiful, and his son was
deaf.
And so he would sign it, and he would go, beautiful, 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 beautiful boy. You're just John Lennon. And the son's name was Cole. And I just fell in love with that name. And just, I don't know, liked it. There you go.
Very good. There you have it.
And Brad decided on Rutabaga Rimshot instead.
Yep. So that's what we went with.
We don't have a son.
James Rutabaga Rimshot McFadden.
He was lost.
He didn't make it.
He was never made it to be born.
Yeah. Oh well. That's another story.
That's another sad.
Hey there, boy. Listen. Oh, hey there. Sweetie pie. How you doing?
Hey.
Listen. Yesterday, Brad, you said something that I've got to take. Exception with.
Okay.
Really? What did I say?
You said that maybe that show was just, you know, like the dry runs, and I got to tell you right now, there's no such thing. I've heard that expression before, but it ain't true. It's one of them myths.
I don't think he said dry runs.
I said the show. I said we could use the show as a dry run. In other words, not a real show.
What? So you're using the term in the fact that it's a fictitious thing, right?
What are you talking about?
I'm just saying that there is no such thing as the dry runs. I've had to run so many a times, and ain't none of a single one of them been dry.
Okay, really? You're going to have
disgusting.
This conversation with me
what
in the room.
What are you doing? We're having a perfectly good show. And you bring that in?
You said it. I didn't say it. Why is everybody coming down on me?
We didn't say it. You're the one who turned it into potty humor.
I didn't turn it into nothing. You said it.
Uh-uh.
I don't know what you're talking
about.
You
took it the wrong way.
I took
as
it the wrong
always.
Way. How else can you take it?
Well, if you understood common normal English, maybe you'd understand what we said.
What are you talking about? I speak as good as English as anybody.
Oh, okay.
Okay, Buford, is that all you got? You just want to come in and say that there's no such thing as the dry runs. I agree with you. There's no such thing as the dry runs. So are we done?
I reckon. Golly, you people are cranky. All right, talk to you later.
We have been cranky, actually.
We have been very cranky.
Yeah, I bit Brad's head off yesterday.
I bit Helen's head off last
night. And Brad
Helen,
never, ever does that to Helen.
No, she came in to
ever.
Tell us. She came in to tell us to turn the TV down. We were watching King Kong. By the way, horrible show.
And he'd been begging. Remember on the Netflix show, did we not talk about how you had to see King? I have to see King Kong. And we watch it.
It was disgusting.
And it was disgusting.
It was gross.
And horrible, except for when those few quiet moments when she was with him and he'd go, "It's beautiful." And he loved her so much.
It was a gorilla.
It was disturbing, truly.
The show was okay, but there was just parts of it that were so gross that I couldn't, like, sleep.
Well, I didn't even watch half the movie because I was under the blanket.
She was hiding her head.
The dinosaurs. I'm like, really don't need to see the dinosaur.
Can't even stand the sounds. Can't even take the sounds.
Can't see the dinosaur ripping each other apart. The
giant insects.
Those were cockroaches, by the way. That's disgusting.
Those were cockroaches.
That's what he said. Remember when he climbed back up when the captain came to save him and they pulled him up out of the ravine?
They were scorpions. They were
and he called
mosquitoes.
Him and he were, called him called the Jack Black. He called him a
he called
cockroach,
him a cockroach.
And he goes and he said, "No, the cockroaches are."
But those aren't really cockroaches. They were like,
oh, I don't know because I didn't
all different
see
kinds
it.
Of bugs. But anyway, fact of the matter,
I had to
gross.
Go. I had to go to
Helen,
the kitchen.
Helen came in to ask us to turn the television down because she couldn't sleep, and I was like, Helen. Did I tell you to get in bed? I was like, and she just started crying. I guess I don't yell at her.
No, ever.
And she's like that. I mean, you just look at her hard and she'll cry. I'm sorry. You know, oh no, what did I just do? So I had to go console her and tell her I was sorry and ask for her forgiveness. She was very kind and sweet.
Yes. I had already had to do it earlier in the day.
Yeah, because, you know, Faith was on me. And then, so anyway. So anyway,
we were a cranky bunch.
Cranky bunch, and then Helen was cranky this morning.
Mm-hmm.
We rolls downhill,
down,
I guess.
Yep. Sure does.
All right, well, I'm done being cranky.
Okay.
And that's it. The forum's back. I mean, the 2 Pounds Grows are back up.
Oh, good.
Jazz actually paid the bill.
So, is that what happened?
Yeah. It was on auto renew.
Yeah.
It didn't auto renew.
Oh.
So the bill didn't get paid. So the lights went off.
Oh boy.
Yeah. So if you went to 2 Pounds Grows yesterday and it wasn't there.
There you have it.
That's what happened. So anyway, we've paid our electric bill. The lights are back on.
Okay.
Things are good.
Good to know.
Yeah. So we'll say goodbye and goodnight to Cole and everybody else.
Have a wonderful, beautiful day.
A wonderful, beautiful day.
Mm-hmm.
A beautiful, wonderful day.
Mm-hmm.
Unless you listen to this at night, then we hope that you have a wonderful, beautiful night.
Hope you had a wonderful, beautiful day.
Yes. Whatever she said. I think.
Okay.
A good. Okay.
Vas con Dios.
You should have, no, like, what else could the dry run be? I don't understand where that term comes from. What else could it mean?
What you used it as is what it means.
I know what it means, but I don't know where it comes from.
Oh.
Dry run.
I'm sure it has some, there's some
history. 2 Pounds Grows, they're gooder than pie.
This show was sponsored by the grace of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to have your life sponsored by the Creator of the universe, then go to a Bible near you and turn to Romans 3:23, where it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But what does this mean? It means that before a holy and perfect God, we are all broken. If you know this to be true, then you must admit that you are a sinner. Sin separates us from God and prevents us from being in His presence. Now, once you've admitted you are a sinner, you must be willing to turn from sin. In Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." So how do we become right with God? We need a way to be forgiven for our sins, and that way is through the sacrifice and raising up of Jesus Christ. In Romans 5:8, it says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this: while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Through prayer, invite Jesus into your life to become your personal Savior. It says in Romans 10:10, "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved." It also says in Romans 10:13, "For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know these things in your heart, then here's an example of what you might pray. Dear God, I am a sinner and I need forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ shed His blood and died for my sin. I'm willing to turn from sin, and I ask Jesus to come into my heart and my life as my personal Savior. Open yourself up to the infinite grace of God, and it will change your life for eternity. This offer is non-refundable. Valid in all states. No further purchase is necessary.